floor. Basketball is my favorite sport. I like the way they dribble up and down the court. Just like I'm the king on the microphone. So it's Dr. J and Moses Malone. I like slam dunks and taking it to the hoop. My favorite play is the alley-oop. I like the pick and roll, I like the give and go. Cause it's basketball, or Mr. Kirch's show.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I love those guys on the SEC network.
I used to go to dinner, then take the girl to see Tiny play against Earl Pearl and Wilt Bingo and Jerry West.
How far is this from Wilt Bingo and Jerry West, what we saw tonight? And by the way, if you call the show tonight at 865-200-5402, you will encounter no operator, so you'll be on hold when you know you're on hold. Tennessee wins tonight. Tony Basilio reporting 61-47 as I welcome you to another edition of your Smart Way Dalton Behring Tennessee basketball overtime. It's time to get into the league season here. It's time to get serious about it. It's time to buckle down. Tennessee and Mississippi State tonight, or as I so aptly, and I got it from the great Paul Gilbert, Mississippi Mistake and our Volunteers tonight set basketball back maybe 100 years. But I will say this. I was looking on the court tonight. I was looking for Bill Sharman. Hatfield, who all was I looking for tonight on the court at what we saw out there tonight?
Well, given the quality of the play tonight, I was waiting for LaMarcus Golden and Jay Fox to line up in the backcourt. Maybe some Ronnie Reese at power forward for some Ricky Clark at the wings firing threes off the shot clock.
How are they 9-4 with that roster they have? It's incredible. This guy can really coach, and those kids are working really hard.
Oh, there's no doubt. People always talk about how Bruce Pearl just wins. Here's to me, we've found another guy that just wins, because there is no business. And you hit on something we were talking off the air, Tony. These SEC announcers, did you hear what they said at the end of the game? They were acting like Vincent Yarbrough and Wayne Chisholm played 100 years ago. The guy said, "Now, if you're 20, you're talking about some ridiculous stat package they've thrown together that Richardson's only going to be the third guy to ever reach." And he said, "Now, if you're 25 or under, you probably don't know who those guys are. But if you're in your mid-30s or older, you know who those guys are." And I'm thinking, Wayne Chisholm left here 15 minutes ago. Where do they get these guys?
I like the whole, I mean, Barry Booker is just so awful, but I mean, when the first time I heard him talk, I thought he was joking. but Tennessee wins tonight. Josh Richardson scores 11 points, and 5 of those come late. I mean,
but in this game, that counts for a flurry.
He literally was nowhere to be found, and they won rather comfortably, 61-47. And I'll say this, Keith, these guys have just figured it out, and teams don't want any. Give me some observations from tonight, and then we'll go to the phones. And all lines are currently jammed after 11 o'clock. It's 11:25 on a Wednesday night, and all lines are jammed, proving once again, that this is not a basketball market, that people in East Tennessee don't care. Go ahead.
Well, to have overcome the foul problems they had tonight, I mean, it was a situation where they were one more turnover and one made three from Mississippi State from that getting awfully, awfully uncomfortable. I mean, they were about to have to run Galen Campbell out there in a meaningful game with a close score. I mean, a situation that guy's certainly never been in at the SEC level, and they were about to have no choice. And the game really, Tony, Tennessee won the game in great stead on two, about 10-second flurries. Hubs hits the three to give them the lead back in the first half. He gets a rebound, comes down, feeds Bachman, who hits another three and gets them the lead. And then the stretch there where Mostella hits a three, deals the inbounds pass, and Reggie Miller's back behind the line and fires in another one. I mean, in a game where nobody's scoring, when you get 12 points in about a total of about 15 seconds in two flurries, that's pretty much the game.
How about Hubs? Good for that kid, huh?
Well, I think he's playing fairly well. I mean, he's not setting the world on fire, but I'm not concerned about him living up and being the five-star prospect everybody thought he was. I just want the guy to be a productive basketball
great
player.
Great point.
For that team. And he's been that for the last four or five games. Look, if he all of a sudden clicks on like it did for Jordy Mack and he becomes an all-SEC player, great. But if he's going out every night and getting 8 to 10 points and 4 or 5 rebounds and a couple of assists and playing decent defense every night, I'll take that all day long.
I didn't see this coming a month ago.
Oh, I don't think a lot of people were ready to quit on him a month ago. And even though I wasn't one of them, you didn't hear me criticizing anybody who was. He's shown nothing. I mean, as of a month ago, Robert Hubs had done absolutely nothing in his time here.
One observation about the announcers, and by the way, we will track Konzo Martin and his Cal guys that are down 17-8 right now.
This would be three really nice losses in about a 2-week period.
Yeah, because this USC team.
That guy's a clown. You talk about he is Rick Ray with a model for a wife is what.
That field is letting it rip tonight. He is letting it rip this evening on a night where the Volunteers win 61-47. They go to 9-4 on the year, and all is well in the Southeastern Conference, because when I tune in the SEC Network, they tell me how great, how great we are.
Well, you hit it right earlier, Tony. I mean, it's like they're like wrestling announcers, man, and they're selling Killer Kyle versus Buddy Landale at the Maynardville National Guard Armory like it's Ric Flair and the Junkyard Dog in the Superdome, man. They're giving you your money's worth.
Where is Tony Schiavone when you need him? Because, and here's where we're going to go tonight with a little bit of this. We're going to talk about the game. But don't sell me when I'm watching a sporting event. Don't sell me. That what I'm watching is quality. They pretended tonight during that telecast that was quality and that the league is coming on strong. And they keep quoting these damn numbers about how many top 100 guys are committed, and it is the most disingenuous bunch of nonsense. And look, we want the league to get better. I want the league to get better because we have to watch it and cover it. But the league is what the league is right now, and literally they played that game tonight. Keith, if they were seriously counting attendance in there tonight, do you not think that there will be more people at some games in the Knoxville area this week watching high school basketball?
Oh, I would think if you put, say, Fulton and Bearden, you know, in a gym that holds 4,000 or 5,000, it should outdraw what you saw there tonight.
I mean, the Rocky Top League has played before a lot more people than that.
Oh, and the people care more. I think people there tonight, they were probably giving away hot dogs or cowbells or something. I'm sure there was some sort of promotion.
Don't put the belt. Don't put the strap, okay, on David Arquette and call him a champion. That's all. And you know what? Tennessee winning there tonight is a quality win for this basketball team. Tennessee winning anywhere is a quality win for this basketball team. They're 9-4 somehow, Keith. They've got Alabama Saturday, which we'll talk about a little later on tonight in the program. Give me a couple other thoughts, and then I'm going to go to the phones.
Well, I think you've got contributions out of a lot of people tonight. I'd certainly... A guy that I'm certainly never going to be the president of his fan club, but Derek Reese makes a couple of huge plays. Now, granted, one of them was that ridiculous three at the end of the game, which if I'm Onyx Rick Ray at that point, I probably start thinking that I may have chosen the wrong profession. When Derek Reese is hitting 27-foot fadeaway threes to close you out, you might want to think about another line of work, because it's obviously just not going to work for you.
It was from about 26 feet, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's no way. And what I loved was Barry Booker. Oh, I don't know why the defense didn't close out on him. Well, why wouldn't you want Derek Reese to take that shot? Why would you attempt to dissuade him from doing that?
It's so fun to have fun with Barry Booker, because the first time I heard him, well, I'll tell you. I mean, I just went, that guy can't be serious. But he's Barry Booker. So, I'll give you one more observation, and then we'll go to the phones. Boy, this Bachman guy's a nice player. He's a nice player. This Bachman guy can play. He is a nut. This guy is fearless, man. When that game was unraveling in the first half, he made a couple of big shots, Keith, for this team. When Richardson was on the bench in foul trouble, this Bachman guy is not afraid.
Oh, no. The shots from the perimeter that he and Hubs made kind of kept UT upright in the first half, because that, even after the stretch where they didn't score for, what, a month and a half or however long it was, they were still wobbly, but then they get the lead back. And when you go in against a team as limited as Mississippi State, when they were able to get the lead back and then stretch it out a little bit at the start of the second half, you would have really had to screw it up to lose that game. Even though Tennessee, if you take out live ball turnovers in the middle of the floor in the second half, they could have probably held Mississippi State to about 8 points.
To our phones we go. That's absolutely true. By the way, Mississippi mistake, for those of you who follow the once proud program of Richard Williams, who had it really going down there before they hired the lead singer from Spandau Ballet, and now Rick Ray has run it literally
into
the
ditch. I guarantee they'll take Spandau Ballet over Onyx right now.
Mississippi mistake has now lost how many straight SEC games?
I think it's 14.
You got it. 14 straight league games.
How in the world do you lose 14 straight regular season games in this league?
In this league. Thank you. To the phones we go.
Wade Houston never even pulled anything like that off.
To the phones we go, and let's grab our first call tonight. You're on your smart way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulic Tennessee Basketball Overtime, where we talk about it. Hello.
Tony, Keith, it's me. How are you?
Hey, Smith. Hey, what's up, man?
Not a whole lot. Keith, I like your reference to Reggie Miller. I was watching it with a couple friends, and the first thing that came to mind was the Reggie Miller reference over there at Madison Square Garden with that three-point shot with Diedrich. But, Tony, I gotta disagree with you a little bit on the SEC. I know it's not great right now, but looking back at it last year, the SEC was looking like it was going down. I actually think that it's kind of on a rise with, you know, recruiting is obviously hit or miss. I mean, you never know what, you know, players are going to do, you know, five stars, four stars. I mean, look at Bob Hubbs as a great example, but, you know, you look at LSU, they got 2 5-stars coming in. Kentucky's always going to be there. Billy Donovan's always great. And then you got Frank Martin, who's really proving that he is an excellent coach, and that Kansas State is really going to miss him, and South Carolina made a great hire in getting him. If Donnie can stay, Tennessee is going to be great. Mark Fox is slowly but surely turning the Georgia program around. They've got a couple good wins this season. I'd say they definitely make a play, getting a bye in the SEC tournament this year. And, you know, quite honestly, I think if you got, you know, 6 solid teams, which is looking like may happen over the next couple of years, you know, I think the SEC will kind of get back to where it was in the mid-2000s, where, you know, you had a solid, you know, 5, 6, 7 teams that can make a run for the SEC, you know, for the NCAA tournament and get in and make some noise. And, you know, I think there's enough coaches that have been hired here lately in the last couple of years that are going to make a difference. Rick Ray is an exception to that, but I would have to disagree with you on that, that the SEC is probably, it's looking a lot better than it did. I don't think it'll show this year. It may not show next year, but 2 years from now, I think that the SEC is actually going to be a really good conference.
But all we can talk about is what's in front of us, and the SEC right now is garbage. I mean, I'm going to quote Big Will. The SEC right now, and that's the conversation we're having, because these guys are making it sound. They keep saying that the league top to bottom has a bunch of solid teams in it, and the truth is it doesn't. Now, that is epidemic across, I think, and indicative of what you see in college basketball right now, because college basketball is about three or four really, really great teams and a bunch of teams. And Tennessee on any given night can beat those teams that are in the bunch of teams category, a la the win over Butler, the win over Kansas State. So that truly is what college basketball is right now. It's just kind of a mismatch. But in our league, I mean, you can't. I mean, come on. Nobody with a straight face can tell me that this league and what we saw tonight is Division I quality basketball. And that is just terrible basketball.
I agree. I think that, you know, the league this year, when you got Florida down the way they are, your normal powerhouses like Mississippi State, Tennessee, Florida, Kentucky, LSU, Vanderbilt, barely scratching out wins. Excluding Kentucky, the best win on conference is South Carolina beating Iowa State on a neutral floor. And, you know, that's a great win for South Carolina, but like I said, it's on a neutral floor. It wasn't like they were playing in Ames. I agree with that. You know, it's not very good. I still love to watch it. I love my SEC basketball, no matter how bad.
Oh, yeah, it's like, traditional. Tonight's game was fun, wasn't it? Wasn't tonight's game fun?
It's a blast to watch. There's something, though, about SEC basketball that it just, no matter what year it is or how good any team is, the Wednesday night game, the middle of the week games, always just slop games. It doesn't matter what they're ranked. It doesn't matter how good they are. It's always just like, man, this is just awful basketball. I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's because of classes or what. I mean, it's like almost every game. You know, the South Carolina Florida game was just awful to watch. But it wasn't awful to watch. It was an awful game. But if you're an SEC basketball fan, you enjoy watching that stuff. It's what we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but I am excited about the win tonight. I know it wasn't exactly what we were looking for in the first half. I think Tennessee needs to get a little better in the first half. I think we all know that.
What is that? What do you guys think that is? Keith, what do you think it is? What's the deal with the first half?
Well, I don't think this is a particularly good offensive team, Tony. I think a lot of what they do defensively is kind of a cumulative effect on teams. And they start turning them over a little bit, which gets them out in transition, which makes the offense look a little better in the second half. This team's got severe limitations offensively. And when Josh Richardson either is on the bench with fouls or just isn't scoring, you're going to be hard pressed to break 25 or so and a half with this team. That's just the reality of who they are, I think.
Smitty, I can't believe that we've got 9 wins with that basketball team right now. And they ended the night, and Keith is exactly right, because 3 guys are fouled out. And Mostella's over there hobbling around. You are a whisker away from getting Galen Campbell and sticking him into a game.
Oh, and somebody else had 4 fouls.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, away from going to Galen Campbell and saying you're in the game.
Derek Reese was with 4 fouls, and you're looking middle way of the second half and thinking, well, Derek Reese is probably going to be the first guy to foul out.
Mm-hmm.
Or Willie Carmichael. You know, you're looking at it that way. I don't know what it is. I have no idea why Tennessee can't get off to a great start. I think it nerves may be a little part of it. You know, these guys are just so young. I mean, and for some reason, Josh seems to be very low key in the first half. And
well, the start tonight wasn't the problem.
No, he wasn't.
But I mean, the start wasn't the problem. It was the 10 minutes that followed the start, or the 15 minutes that followed the start.
Right, right. But it's still the first half. I mean, it's the overall first half of the game. It's just, you know, I don't know what goes through their heads. It's, you know, the beginning of the game, it seemed like they're fired up for SEC play, and then they get ahead 12 points, and all of a sudden they, you know, I have no idea what happened. You know, it's, I really can't explain what goes on in the first half. I really don't know. If offensive problems, you know, the offensive struggles are clear, but, you know, they're still turning the ball over, and they're fouling a lot. So even on defense, they're not doing the best job that they should be doing, because, you know, in the first half, they had way too many fouls when they were struggling. So, you know, I really have no explanation for that. It's just their second half team. That's just all it is.
We got a Knoxville guy on the floor in the Cal game, Tony.
And who would that be?
That would be Davis Tarwater's brother.
Oh, I love it. Hey, I knew he looked familiar. Hey, thanks, man. Hey, Smitty, great hearing from you, brother.
Yeah, same to you, Tony and Keith. Y'all have a good night.
We're going to have some fun with this. Hey, big win for the Vols. We're going to have some fun with this year. 865-200-5402. Ironically enough, Trey Poteet on Twitter just alerted me to the fact, Keith, and he gets a shout-out, that Tennessee started 9-4 last year. You want a statistical anomaly from a night when the Vols roll Mississippi State on the road 61-47? Tonight, in this game, Mississippi State shot twice as many foul shots as the Vols. 44 foul shots to Tennessee's 22, but only outscored Tennessee by 7 at the line.
Oh, their free throw shooting is atrocious.
Let me read that one more time. Mississippi State shot 44 foul shots tonight. Tennessee shot 22, and they only outscored Tennessee by 7 at the line. The Vols won the game tonight from the foul line, in a game where their opponent went to the foul line twice as many times. Grant Ramey from the Maryville Daily Times observed, Mississippi State made 11 field goals. They took 8 more foul shots than shots in the game. Tennessee made 17 field goals on the night, and 10 of them were threes. And Tennessee won on the glass 44-28. Tonight's game made no sense. I mean, it was, Keith, that was a strange basketball game.
Well, that's Mississippi State, obviously, just, and they're not terribly talented. I mean, they've got a couple of guys can play. Gavin Ware can play. A couple of their freshman big guys can play if he's healthy. Craig, even though, why is his last name Sword?
There we go.
Why is he not Craig Sword? Kind of questioning that too. But no, but they don't have great talent, but they have no idea how to win. It's obvious that they're completely immersed in the culture of losing now. They're just bathed in it. And you saw a couple of programs tonight, Tony. We talk a lot about, you know, programs win. You're talking about programs that just their pure DNA for winning showed up tonight. Florida nor Kansas had any business winning tonight. And they both go on the road and win. I mean,
that's
once you get
stuff.
A program to the point where it's second nature to win games, you've got something.
That's a great point. And poor South Carolina, you just knew they were going to unravel at the end of their game, because that's what they do.
Oh, yeah. They're still a year from now, when they've got P.J. Dozier and a couple of the other guys they're bringing in, that probably doesn't happen. But you can do, they're not there yet. I think people got a little too excited about the win over Iowa State, just in that, but they're not, South Carolina's not there yet, night in, night out. They'll catch some other people. I mean, they'll probably, if you told me I had to pick 3 games that Kentucky might lose, at South Carolina's probably one of the 3 I'd take. Along with at LSU and probably at Florida. But they're still going to throw out a game like that. I mean, they had control of that game in the second half. Florida comes back and ties it, and then, like you said, they just unraveled.
To the phones we go. And by the way, Frazier on the bench in that game tonight, as Billy D got his attention in a big time way, took playing time away from him. USC is on top of California right now, and Konzo Martin 31-19 as they're
look at all the people showing up at the Galen Center to watch this
inside the 4 minute timeout, the mandatory television timeout. As we go back to the phones, a rather docile Whoopi Goldsgym over on the bench right now. Let's go back to the
place they don't care. You don't have a place they don't care about basketball. USC, of all the major conference schools, there are precious few that care less about basketball than USC.
Back to our phones we go. Let's grab our next call. Hello and welcome.
What's up, Broder? It's Roberto.
Hey, buddy. Welcome.
Keith, true or untrue, when they had O.J. Mayo at USC, they put a whopping 1,200 people in the stands every game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen that act up close under two coaches out there when they were rolling and making the NCAA tournament under Floyd, and then the 1 year under KO, they had a real good year. They just don't care. You'd have to have Carmen Electra singing the national anthem nude at midcourt every night to get 2,000 people in that building.
They're essentially like Alabama. I mean, but Alabama's maybe a little bit better historically in basketball, but that's who they are.
Alabama's decent, though. At least they kind of showed up when Wimp was there and when Newton was there. Yeah, I mean, I don't think USC, there's nothing they can do. If they didn't show up to watch that Taj Gibson, O.J. Mayo bunch, I have no idea why they'd ever show up to watch basketball.
And that was a talented team. Dwight Tarwater balling it up out at Cal. I didn't realize he was a transfer out there from Cornell. You know, it's funny. I think he's been to more tournaments than Konzo Martin.
Interesting.
I remember when Cornell's run ended.
Well, he was there from 10 to 14, so I don't know. But it doesn't really matter. Man, Konzo, I'm so glad he left. We have a coach that can really coach the game. Guys, you're right, Tony, in that we're not really good, but you keep asking, how are we 9-4? How are we 9-4? Because our coach can really coach. I mean, I think he's the best X's and O's guy we've had since Don DeVoe. But he really can coach, man. I've watched a lot of basketball. I'm not up on it like Keith, but I sit here and I go, tonight, every single second half, we come out and beat the crap out of the team we're playing because he's a great in-game adjuster.
You know, he's probably, yeah, he really is. He really is, and they're so tough. I mean, former players that go to practice, they tell me I didn't want any of that. They said, man, I talked to a couple of Pearl guys. They say, boy, I thought he ran a hard practice. He said, it's nothing. Two guys have told me it's nothing like what these guys do at practice.
Well, here's another question for you guys. How bad was the officiating tonight when you saw Jimmy Hyams take to Twitter and call for the heads of the officiating crew?
Well, no, that's
how
historic.
Bad was that?
That's historic, because Rocky Good will have something to say for that.
I'm sure he will. I mean, that was historically bad. I've never seen anything quite as bad as that tonight. I mean,
like when Mostella got tackled and they called him for a walk on the rebound.
Yeah, well, and then I believe it was the fourth foul on punter. I can't remember, but he literally didn't touch the guy and he got called for a foul. Literally did not touch him at all. Like, their jerseys didn't even swipe in the night, if you will. It was unbelievable. And you guys were talking about having to put in the walk-up. Well, not exactly. You don't plan for that when you have four guys with five fouls, you know? You don't exactly plan.
Yeah.
Seriously, guys, SEC basketball is bad. But then they deserve officiating that is worse than the basketball being played.
Well, tonight, great example. My son's in here. We're watching the game in the Ray Mears studio at the end. He says, Dad, are they going to quit blowing that whistle?
No doubt.
They kept calling ticky-tack fouls with like 6-7 seconds left. 8 seconds. What are they doing?
My favorite was there was 20.9 seconds to go, and Josh Richardson throws the ball in about the 10th row, and they call a foul on Josh Richardson. Yeah, I don't know. And by the way, I thought, you know, your boy Barry Booker, he's all-time bad, but don't you love his underhanded, backhanded compliments he gives Tennessee, if you will, because he's a Vanderbilt guy, and he can't stand the fact that we always kick their ass at everything.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to kick it again this year, big boy.
No, I believe it. No, they're terrible. I mean, the SEC is bad, and they flashed up the, was it seven teams in the BPI top 40? Tennessee is better than at least half of those teams. SEC is terrible. I think Tennessee finishes in the top four. I said it a long time ago, and it's okay if you disagree, but I don't see 8 losses on the schedule, Tony. I see 12 wins.
Boy, if that happens, they're in the tournament, and this guy's coach of the century. I appreciate you, man. Hey, thanks,
you. Thanks, guys. Have a great show.
Hey, when you have, when you're naming streets after Joan Cronin, if this guy wins 20 games the way we exalt and celebrate around here, this guy will have a ticker tape parade in downtown Knoxville. Goodness gracious. I mean, 12-4 in the, or, well, it would be 14-4, 12-6 in the league would be the number, because you play 18 now. That's the other thing. You play 18 games in that conference, Keith. Can we sit through 18 of them?
You can find some, you can certainly find some wins there. The one thing that amazes me, everybody's talking about the rebirth of this league and how it's gotten so much better. And everybody mentions who right now to me appears to easily be the second best team in the league, and that's Arkansas. The team that comes in here next Tuesday night, to me, they appear to be, easily be the second best team in this conference.
Going to be interesting. Let's go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. Let's go back to our phones and grab our next call tonight on your smart way. Dalton Behring and Hydraulic, Tennessee Basketball Overtime, where all lines are currently jammed. Hello and welcome.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, Donnie.
I tell you what, that was a beautiful game to me because we won.
I feel you, man.
I kept wondering why we kept trying to go inside myself. All you got to do is look at the stats. We was hot from outside, and you had a lot more ring. I just kept shooting threes. I mean, we don't have anybody that can go inside. But you mentioned Josh having such an off game. Armani Moore scores nothing. Josh only had like 6 or 8 points until they fouls started to, you know, found him at the end. Those two combined for, you know, 10 points for the game, or we'll just say 6 points with 5 minutes to go in the game, and you got a double-digit lead. I mean, how unbelievable is that?
Oh, no. The guys stepped up. Now, there's no doubt some guys, Hubs, Baltman, Reese, they needed something from other guys tonight, and they got it. There's no doubt about that. Kevin Punter, complete team of effort.
You know, Keith, it just seems like if they realize somebody else is off, they'll go do something. In the past, we've had teams that if our go-to guy was off, everybody stood around waiting for them to get on or, you know, to start hitting. And then
that's
we
true.
Ended up losing some games. And here, I mean, even Mostella, I mean, somebody pointed down on the message board and said, hey, he's got 15% of our score in 10 seconds. I mean, when he hit those 2 threes. That's, I don't know. And it certainly helped that those knotheads couldn't hit a free throw. I mean, they weren't real great from inside themselves, especially to have that much. If the referees hadn't blown the whistle as much as they did when those guys were in there trying to shoot layups, I don't know if they'd ever scored.
Hey, Don, they shot 44 damn foul shots in that game.
I know.
And they scored 47 points. You would have to try to get 44 uncontested foul shots and only score 47 points. I would bet you that if there's a way to look that up, I would bet you statistically that's probably close to impossible to have 44 foul shots and only get 47 points in a basketball game.
It was unbelievable. You know, our upper league's got some pretty good officials. If they see fire, they might try them and just talk about the crowd.